This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Giant Sports Show. In with me right now as we start every single week is Wade Gilbertson. Then we'll move on to the Breckenridge Cowboys, who had a big win last night, talking to Jack Junker, the pitching coach of the NDSCS Wildcats. And then Chris Landry talking to us about Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings. So a jam-packed show for you. But first, Wade Gilbertson, coach, how are you feeling this morning? What are the big takeaways from that loss last night against Fargo North?
Well, we're a little bruised up today,
yeah.
Or at least my ego is a little bit. We played really, really tough, I thought, in the first half last night. I thought especially our offensive and defensive linemen, they showed up to play last night in that first half. And, you know, I hate to say that it got to be a little bit too much for us, but they wore us down, and their just athleticism, size, strength kind of got to us in the second half.
You have 14-0 game at halftime, and you guys looked really good, and I love the aggressiveness in the first half. I don't think you punted once in the first half, Coach. When you came into the game, did you know, like, hey, you know, we got to play aggressive against this Fargo North team?
Oh, absolutely. We were going to take the fight to them no matter what, and you know, you might have a mindset, or we try to teach our kids not to have a poor me mindset or woe is me mindset because, I mean, we go in without Cap. We got another couple of guys that are banged up here and there. We easily could have went in and just said, hey, we're going to mail this one in. And that's not what we're going to do. You know, we only get to play once a week. This isn't a throwaway game in Rochester in single-A baseball. You know, mm-hmm. You play once a week, we're going to go. And so we were super aggressive to start, and I thought we were super aggressive all game long until, I mean, they started to wear us out and we started to make changes offensively and defensively. And I was proud of the way that our kids responded after an interesting week of practice because of a JV game on Tuesday and the holiday on Monday, and it kind of got all of our schedule out of whack and whatever. But I was proud of the kids, the way they responded in that first half. And I thought that we had them on the ropes in that first drive. You know, we had two drives over 10 plays and couldn't punch it in. And we've done that before in the first couple of games. We did that against Red River. We had long drives that we didn't punch in. But we also did have long drives we punched in against them, though, too. Whereas mm-hmm. last night, we didn't get anything in. Down on, I don't know, 3-yard line, 2-yard line, 1-yard line, we're down there. And we had great push to get in and then didn't get in. That was a stinker. But, again, we still were very, very aggressive in that first half after that happened.
Sometimes that's the hardest plays to watch back on film on Monday is those ones that you kind of wish you could get back there, where you're on the 1-yard line, the 3-yard line. You're like, all right, you know, we can just punch it back. This is the first time the Huskies have been shut out since October 1st of last year against the Fargo South Bruins. So right. You were able to put points on the board for, you know, in a lot of games, Coach. Again, coming in, I think a lot of fans, I think a lot of people were kind of chalking this up as a, I'm not going to say scheduled loss, because Fargo North was the number 2 team in the polls. I know you don't care about that, but this is all I have. So the number 2 team in the polls, and you guys played them to the ropes in the first half. And I think that you could kind of see, you know, the old Rocky Balboa, you know, he can bleed, right? That's how I felt about Fargo North, because on that second drive that you guys had, you did get down to the 1-yard line before fourth and goal ended up not getting into the end zone. Is that starting to become something that your coaching staff and you were talking about during the weeks, talking about during practice, that between the 20s we're doing good, but between the 20 and the end zone is where we might, you know, work a little bit like different game plans? Is that coming through the head yet, or is it just continue ride with the waves?
No, I think we continue doing what we're doing, because what we do, you know, Tuesday is an offensive day for us mainly, and then Wednesday is going to be a defensive day. So on the Tuesdays, we're going to do a lot of goal line stuff. We do a lot of red zone stuff. We do the same thing on Wednesdays. We'll start our offensive periods in practice with goal line and red zone stuff. So we're working on 2-point plays. We're working on plays from the 10-yard line. We're working on plays from the 5-yard line. Sometimes we'll even back it out further out into the red zone plus. But yeah, so we're working on that stuff constantly. We're designing plays that are going to help us score down there when we get down to the goal line or in scoring position. So no, we're not going to change anything that we're doing.
Makes complete sense to me. All right, let's talk about Nick Langenwalter, who was the essential health player of the game last night. Had a great fumble recovery. Talk to me about that, because that was one of those big plays that your defensive line, you did exactly what you're taught. You know, go for the ball, strip it out. There was a little bit of a scrum for it, and then Langenwalter jumped in from the safety position, coming down hard, jumping on top of the ball. Did that what impressed you about that series?
Oh, well, Nick's a good player, and he hasn't had a lot of varsity experience for us at all. This is really the first year that he's had any, and he's starting for us on defense and then had to start for us on offense last night as well. Nick's a kid that actually has worked his butt off, his tail off in the weight room in the offseason.
It shows.
And that does show this year. It really does. He took it upon himself to make himself the player that he is right now. Super proud of him, and that's why he's getting a shot. That's why he's playing, and it turns out that he's got quite a nose for the football. He definitely does, and we knew, I thought, going in that a couple of their running backs were going to have issues with securing the football, and we were able to get one on the ground and recover one there, and that was a big deal. It's a big deal to win that turnover battle, as I think everybody knows. I mean, even your armchair quarterbacks know that you've got to win that turnover battle, right? That's just one of those things. But yeah, I have been really pleased with the way that that Nick has been playing. And I was very pleased with the way that our defense played aggressively last night.
Yeah, very aggressive defense. Langenwalter also broke up two passes as well, which is exactly what you want to do as a safety. You talked about Kappas being out. Bo Arnstein sat out a little bit of the third and fourth quarter as your quarterback playing linebacker as well. I know that this kid would play until, you know, you take a helmet away from him. So what impressed you last night from the leadership of Arnstein?
He showed up to play. He's been a great leader for us for 3 years. Mm-hmm. He's been somebody that's going to go lay it on the line for us since he was a sophomore. He even played a little bit as a freshman on Friday nights as well, kind of in a Braden Steffens kind of way, if you were paying attention to our team and some of the young kids that are getting time. So he's been around the team. He's been around the Friday night game for quite some time, and I think that he's shown a lot of kids in our program over the last couple of years. This is how we're going to show up. This is how we're going to work. This is what we're going to do on a daily basis. This is what we do here. And then he's also showing the kids with his body language and the way that he works in practice. These are the things we don't do here, if that makes sense. So the kids see that and they try to emulate that because he's an All-State receiver last year. He's an All-State defensive. At the safety position last year. Now he's playing linebacker. But and those kids see those awards come down and then they kind of see the way that he works in practice and they connect those two things.
Might be an All-State linebacker this year, Coach.
It's very possible. It is very possible. He's a dynamic athlete, and we like having him out on the field because he can do a great many things. I would like to have more of him. I wish that I could have four or five more guys that were just like him.
100%.
And we do. I guess Caden Kappas is just like him. I mean, those two have been battlers since they were freshmen in our program, and they continue to be.
They continue to be, but they got to stay healthy. And that's like kind of, yeah. I think, where we're at now. I was talking to a coach after the game, and I was saying, you know, we're getting to the point where everybody's a little bit beat up. But the problem is that Fargo North, I looked at their roster, and they sent me a 5-deep. It was like, oh, wow, you got a lot of guys on the still. Whereas, you know, I'm taking the words out of your mouth, bigger, faster, stronger. But there's also size thing, not in, you know, height and weight, but in just depth of players. And that is, I kind of, do you feel that a little bit in Wahpeton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course we do. And we know that we're fighting against that. That's fine. And the kids know that too. Mm-hmm. We don't preach on it an awful lot. But we tell kids, you know, I don't want to – we're not going to stroke their egos by any means. But we're also not going to tell them that they're terrible either.
Oh, they're not, though.
But we do tell our kids, hey, you know, you're going to have to work and be in better shape, work harder and be in better shape than those guys on the other side. That's how we're going to win. We're going to have to win with efficiency. We're going to have to win with doing things correctly, and we're going to have to be in better shape. We got to go longer and harder than the guy across from us. And because we're going to be playing 100 plays a night, you know, we ran 49 offensive plays last night. They ran 50. we had the ball for 27 minutes. They had the ball 21 minutes. You know, so we had the ball longer than they did, which is a little bit odd. And they scored 40 points and we scored none. That's a little weird, right? And so, you know, you go out there and our kids are playing, some of our kids are playing on 100 plays. And some of their kids are playing in 45, 50. So, yes, we do feel that. We do feel that. We don't use that as an excuse. We absolutely do not. We just tell our kids, hey, we realize this. We're smart enough to understand that we have to be that much better and work that much harder.
Another guy that really impressed me last night was Jackson Clute, who led the team in tackles. I thought he was a pretty good lead blocker as well as a tight end. What has impressed you this season with Clute?
Well, he's starting to he's changed positions, and he's starting to play tight end, where he was an offensive lineman last year. On the offensive side. And
so every offensive lineman's dream, by the way, is play tight end.
Oh, absolutely is. No question about it. I think if you asked every one of those guys that have been in our program for 4 years, they'd raise their hand. Sure, I'll try it. I'd love to go out and catch a pass. Anyway, yeah, and then Jackson got moved to linebacker, and now he's back playing the D-line defensively, and I think that that move helped. I really do. I think that that helps him use his skill set a little bit better on the defensive line with his hand in the dirt.
You know, it also helps Riley Timian, who I thought Riley Timian was a very good defensive lineman, but playing linebacker last night, being that other, you know, Clute might get a hand on him, and all of a sudden another guy who could play defensive line just jumping on top of your back, I think that helps, you know. I think he looked really good last night at linebacker, too.
Yeah, Riley's been playing with an extra level of passion, I would say, than what I've seen out of him the first 3 years. He came into this senior year, and he played baseball all summer long, and he played baseball all spring long, so we didn't see much of him. But he came in on that first day, and I think it was maybe a day or two after the state baseball tournament. They came in to get their equipment, and he's been ready to go ever since that day. I mean, he was totally locked in even on the day that I was handing out his equipment to him.
Very good.
And he comes into practice, and he's been locked in and in practices and laser focused and giving it everything that he's got, whether it's conditioning drills, OND, DND, whatever it might be. A kid that kind of has taken it upon himself to really believe in the whole let's go 1-0 today kind of thing. And been very proud of him for that, and I think that we're going to be very successful for the rest of the season, simply because of what he's doing for us.
Next week, Wabanan goes to West Fargo Horace to play. That'll be a good one, Coach. Thank you so much for coming in, Coach Blake Gilberson. We'll talk to you next week after hopefully a win. Let's knock on wood there.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.
Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Welcome back to the show. Carson Yankee in studio with me. I want to say just off the bat, thank you so much for coming in, man, to talk to me about Breckenridge football, because you guys had an excellent win last night, 27-8 win against Parker's Prairie. Let's start where you want to start, Yankee, because offensive coordinator and the offense looked incredible last night.
Yeah, no, offense went really well. We ended up rushing for 312 yards and on the ground, and then an extra 35 yards in there, 3-for-7 passing for Bailey Sanchez. Alex Sanchez led the way with us. He had 11 carries for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gavin Peterson, our fullback, 14 carries for 81 yards, and then Cam Nito, 12 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown. So a really balanced attack overall. Alex Martell had 2 carries for 21 yards as well. So, I mean, spread the ball around quite a bit on the offensive side, which is really good to see, to make sure that kind of everyone's staying fresh and keep everyone going. And, you know, Alex kind of – he didn't get too many carries in that first game, and kind of seeing him really take off this one and do what we kind of knew we could do in the game and show everyone was pretty fun to see. So we were happy in that. Then Gavin's our fullback. I mean, he's just going to go – he'll get you 5 yards when you need 5 yards, and he's going to make sure he leads a little extra hit on that next linebacker who comes up and hits him, because, I mean, no one's going to be running harder with him. And then with Cam, there's not too much else to say. He's the top back, and everyone knows that he's going to run over everyone. He's not going to be a guy to go down easy, and he makes the kids think twice about tackling him. It's pretty fun to watch him play football, if I'm going to be honest.
That's great. Now, as an offense coordinator, how important is it to have a stable of running backs and have like guys that you can trust running the ball?
You know, it's been really good. We switched up our offense a little bit this year. We're running more of a flex bone look, to where we got 3 backs in the backfield. We're doing a lot more pre-snap motion, kind of getting people in different spots. And the best part about having Camp, Gavin, Alex, Martel, Paul Armitage, as well as a younger guy who's played really well. I mean, they do a great job of when it's their number to get their number called, they're going to run as hard as possible. And when the other guys block, when running the football, they're going to go make sure that they make a big block just to make sure that, I mean, it's a team balance. That's what it is. And everyone kind of loves to do their role and takes pride in it. That's for sure.
That is what we like to see. Now, defensively, keeping a team down to 8 points, what went into the install this week against Parker's Prairie?
You know, the thing was we didn't try to do a ton of it. We kind of kept our same base defenses last week, and we just wanted to have the kids play hard. We had a really good challenge for us. They were very big up front. They had a couple of guys, 6'6", 6'7", 260, 270. And the big thing was the defense line. You just got to get off the football and play hard. There was nothing about it. Linebackers, trust your reads. And that's exactly what the kids did. They had a couple of nice runs. But overall, I mean, what they ended up having, 24 carries for 24 yards on offense there. So just an overall great effort. Alex Shocker, we had an injury come in, and Alex Shocker comes in the second half. And he was playing linebacker. We put him down at nose tackle. And Alex is, 5'8", we'll say 150 pounds, 160 pounds. And he had three straight plays that equated to a 15-yard loss on two straight tackles for losses and a sack in the backfield. And that's the type of guy he is. He's going to get off the football. He's going to play hard. And he always kind of tends to wreak havoc in someone's backfield, and that's exactly what he did. So it was good to get him back. He missed the first game. So it's fun to watch him play and how hard he plays.
Talk about a bulldog, man.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That is a bulldog type of play. Getting back there, you don't want him in your backyard. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. He actually led us in tackles with 10 tackles and a sack. Gavin Peterson had 9 tackles. Landon Bloffus had 9 tackles and a sack. Alex Martel had 6 tackles. Jacob Kunkel had an interception in the red zone on the first possession of the game, which was great to see. That was a really big play for him. And, I mean, it kind of sucked the wind out of their sails on that one. I mean, they were getting a good drive going right away, and he made a great play on the football. And Brian Martinez had a strip sack, and then on that strip sack, Alex Sanchez was able to pick it up and get a scoop and score for a touchdown. So on defense, I mean, everyone was flying around, and the kids were having a lot of fun last night, which is good to see, get a smile on a face after, you know, a tough loss in week one. So always good to get a win.
I'll tell you what, having a good game where everything's clicking makes the kids happy, and I guarantee it makes you sleep a little bit better at night too. How does it feel like when you can tell? Because you could tell, I guess, at halftime, middle of the third quarter, that you're like, all right, everything is kind of going the right way. The practice has worked. The kids understand their assignments. What's the relief that goes through a coach's mind when that's happening?
You know, it feels good. It's always good to see the kids have success in what they do, and I mean, that's the biggest part. That's why you do it, and everything is, you know, it's not our team. It's the seniors' mm-hmm. team. It's their year, and to get them rolling, we had three senior running backs, and what they combined for 280, 290 yards. I mean, that's awesome to see. And then, you know, we were getting the pass game going a little bit in the air, had a couple, you know, drop balls there, but a couple passes brought back. So we only ended up throwing for 35 yards, but I mean, it was two plays away from 125 yards. So, I mean, that was really good. Bailey threw the ball really well. He was getting going, and each week he continues to build confidence. And, you know, we got Frazee this week for homecoming. So it's going to be fun to see it. They're pretty good, really good team. They're going to get off the football and punch us in the face. So it'll be fun. It'll be good to see how the kids respond. That's for sure.
It's a rivalry game for the Cowboys. And I'll say this, man. The thing I appreciate most about Breckenridge football is that it takes me back like old school. Like we're talking black and white film. We're talking leather helmets. Because it's a hard-nosed, defensive, run the ball down your throat type of team. And you got a quarterback that can throw it if you need to. And I really like the way that you guys have kind of set it up. And I think that that's a successful formula for the section you guys are in.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, we take a lot of pride in running the football. Breckenridge has always done that. I mean, from the 1940s on, there's as far as I can remember. I mean, it's grounded, pound the football. And the biggest thing about that is a team's got to take on the identity of the town. And being a farming community like Breckenridge, I mean, that's just the way you are. You got farm kids, and you go up and down the line. I mean, we got three offensive linemen that grew up on the farm, 4 of them, 5 of them. And I mean, it's just, there's a lot of pride in being able to run the football in Breckenridge, and that's for sure how it continues to be this year.
I love to see it. Now, you mentioned the homecomings this week. Let's talk about a senior story here, Coach, because you've been around the team enough. What is a story that you can remember from one of these seniors that you can say on air, clearly, but like that kind of like, I guess, represents what this senior class is for Breckenridge?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'd have to go with Gavin Peterson on this one, our fullback, a kid that I think he's just a great kid in general. He's always doing the right thing. I mean, a leader in the weight room. He's a pretty quiet kid. But so 2 years ago when we were playing in the section championship, and we had a kid get kicked out of the game, and Gavin has to come in as a sophomore fullback. Hasn't really played all year, and you know, he comes in the first play. He kind of misses what he was supposed to do, and we told him what to do after that. He's like, okay, I got it. And I mean, the very next play, he goes out and just absolutely drives a kid 6 yards back in the dirt. And from the very play, or like at that moment, I remember talking on the headset to Coach Christensen and Coach Fredrickson. I was like, oh my goodness, we got ourselves a player, guys. And he set the tone for that entire rest of the game. We didn't skip a beat. And that's just the type of kid he is. He's always going to step up and do what's needed of him and what's asked of him. And he's not going to have any questions on it. He's going to go get it done.
Love to see it. Carson Yankee talking to us about a big 27-8 win last night against Parker's Prairie. The Breckenridge Cowboys play their homecoming game against Frazee next week. We'll have that game for you on B92.7. Coach, thank you so much for coming in. It means a ton talking to the Cowboys. And, hey, good luck next week.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Hanging out with me on the Giant Sports Show, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out, and we have a treat today. This is what I was looking forward to all week, boys, and I'm not even kidding. I woke up on Monday morning saying, I cannot wait to talk to the NDSCS baseball team. I got Coach Reinbold, and I got Coach Junker in with me. And the head coach and the pitching coach for the Wildcats. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, love that. So, all right, let's talk about how you guys got here because we got a little bit of time. So, Coach Reinbold, give me your background and how you ended up in Wahpeton, North Dakota.
I got a little bit different background. I was military for 20 years, but I played Division I baseball at West Point. My dad was a baseball coach, professional baseball coach, and high school coach. So I literally grew up around the game. As a matter of fact, the day I was born, my father was at a baseball camp 3 states away.
Oh, wow.
So he wasn't even there for my birth. But I grew up playing the game, loving the game. It's given me everything I have in life, and I just want to try to give some of that back to the other kids.
Coach Junker, how'd you end up here?
Yeah, so finished up my college baseball career this last year and had the opportunity to go out and work camps at the Air Force Academy. And that's where I met Coach Reinbold. And I remember overhearing him talking about a job that he was kind of looking forward to interviewing for. And, we just kind of hit it off at the camp and got back home. About 2 weeks later, he gave me the call. And 3 days later, I accepted it and was ready to go.
I love it. And how have you guys liked Wahpeton so far?
Love it. I love the area. I'm a Midwest kid. I grew up in Indiana, so I'm used to Midwest nice, and it's kind of nice to be back to that. Everybody's been very, very welcoming to us. So it's a nice baseball community. A lot of people enjoy the game here. They love the game. They come out and watch. I was watching Three Border Sports during the summer or during the Legion period, and listening to, you know, what I could for other games and that, and it just seems to be a lot of interest for baseball.
I'll tell you what, when I moved up here, it was during football season. I got here in September of last year, and I'm a Texas football guy. I was like, all right, football's the number one thing. And every person, Big Mike included, was like, you think football's big, baseball is the thing that runs this town. And it is completely true. The American Legion team was very good this year. The high school baseball team, I was impressed by them. They had a state run as well. Jack, you come from Texas as well. Baseball in this town, what is it going to kind of – what do you want NDSCS's baseball identity to be in Wahpeton?
So I think we just want to build a program, right? We just kind of want to establish ourselves. I think that's important. I think every other team's really, really good. I know football's good. I know volleyball's good. So I think we just want to establish baseball.
Yeah, Coach Reinbold, this is a relatively, I'm going to say, new program. It's not in the infancy anymore, but you take over a program that I think was already kind of on the up and up. How do you take that baton and try to take it to that next level?
Well, we just try to get more people involved. The more people we can get involved, the more interest there is, the more people that show up, that shows the kids that everybody cares, they're going to care more. We're just trying to expand the program, trying to make it more visible to everyone.
How have practices been going?
They've been going great. I am really happy with the way that the players have bought into the system. We expect them to play with joy, but play with purpose also. And, you know, like, we're going to be taking extra bases every chance. This fall when we have scrimmages, they're required to steal. They're required to take the extra base. We are not going to be sitting back and just, you know, waiting for something to happen. We're going to make it happen.
I talked to a guy earlier this week about luck, and he was like, you know, some people are just inherently lucky and some people have to make their own luck. And I think in baseball, there's some guys, you just get lucky. You know, they close their eyes and they swing the bat and all of a sudden they're a 300 hitter. And then there's some guys that have to go make their own luck. I think that's kind of what it is. Taking bases, stealing bases, stuff like that. Playing aggressive is how you make your own luck, Coach.
Absolutely. Our motto this year is stalk and pounce. We're wildcats, right?
There you go.
So what does a wildcat do? They stalk their prey, and then when they see the opening, they pounce. And that's the exact way I want them to play.
All right, now I talked to Coach Junker about this earlier, and I'm going to throw it to you, because when I got up here, I was watching a bunch of the high school baseball guys play, and I came up with this theory in my head. So you know how people say they want to, like, climb Mount Kilimanjaro, or they're going to run a marathon? And I said, if you had somebody that was like, that is their life goal, is to throw 90 miles per hour, right? Like, all right, I'm going all out. This is the only thing I want to do. I threw this theory out, and everybody in the press box gave me dirty looks. Every parent was like, that's not true. I have a head baseball coach in with me right now. It's all physics, Coach. Am I wrong? It's all physics.
No, you actually are correct in that it is all physics. But does the person have the ability, synaptic ability, to move from brain to body?
I think
not everybody has that ability.
You can practice that, though.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. There's no such thing as a natural anything.
Right.
It's a matter of this. I got my sports psych degree.
Okay? Ooh.
So yeah, it is truly a matter of if you want something bad enough, you could do it. Right. You could train. There's a great video. I saw a great video on Instagram or one of those. It was a young baseball player. He was probably 6 or 7, and he had the ugliest swing in the world. 3 years later, he had a really nice swing because he had worked at it. So in that, yes, in theory, yes. But is somebody willing to put in the time to do it? That's a different story.
I think the people who are willing to climb Mount Kilimanjaro would be willing to just get on a mountain and throw a couple pitches.
If that's their passion, yeah.
Now, okay, I got you guys here for a little bit longer. I want to talk about some baseball stories. I want to talk about something like, when I ask, hey, Coach, give me a baseball story, what's the first one that comes to mind? We're just going to start with Coach Junker because we've been focusing on the head coach a little bit too much. Pitching coach, give me a pitching story that when I say, like, Jack Junker's pitching career, this is the thing that you want people to talk about. Come a little closer to the microphone for me.
All right. So... it's kind of a tough question.
You got all of these stories. You got all this playing time. Just the first one that comes to mind, man.
I'd probably say my first college outing, because coming out of high school, my college coach, I mean, he kind of boosted me a little bit. He was giving me a bunch of confidence. We were playing at New Mexico Junior College, and it's a launch pad, right? So I get in there. I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready to go. First guy out of the pen. Come in with bases loaded. Second pitch, I give up a grand slam. And it was brutal. Right? So, right off the bat, first college outing, I'm already a little shook. Walk a guy. Give up another bomb. So, that's the first
six
one
runs right
of.
There.
Yep. So, welcome to college, right? So, got pulled, obviously. Next guy in. And just kind of had to work my way back up from there. So that's the first story I think of.
That shows resiliency, man. Yeah. That shows that even when you're down, you're not out. Coach Reinbold, let's talk about you. You got a story that can top that one?
As far as my baseball experience?
Sure, yeah.
I have plenty of embarrassing circumstances, you know?
I didn't ask for embarrassing. I just asked for the first story. Junker decided to throw an embarrassing one out.
I don't know. I mean, there's... I do remember a similar instance. I was a freshman, and I'm starting as a varsity freshman in Division I baseball. There's a little bit of a jump between Division I NCAA baseball and high school baseball, and there was a ball hit to left center field, and I'm on first base, and I got this. I cannot, you know, I was a quick runner. I was out by six steps. I mean, the Division I arm and a high school arm, they're completely different animals. You know, I was playing against a 22, 23-year-old man, and I'm a 19-year-old kid, right? And he just nails me. He throws me out by probably six steps. And I was like, ooh, college baseball is a little bit different than high school baseball.
It is, man. It is. That is something that I'm glad to have both you guys in here, because I think that the – you talk about baseball players, there's a, you know, hey, if you get a hit every three hits every 10 at-bats, you're a Hall of Famer. So there's a lot of that kind of in the margins type of stuff where, you know, it might not be the best play. You might not make every single catch in the outfield, but you still can be a great ball player even with some maybe deficiencies in these type of categories.
Well, we really try to stress. As a matter of fact, I put out an email this morning. Don't try to control the things you don't control. You can make a perfect pitch and a guy get a base hit. And you can put one right down the middle and he foul it off, right? You don't control the outcomes. What we want them to focus on is what they can control. That's their effort, their attitude, their presence, meaning how they present themselves, their work ethic, those things that they control. So today, for our scrimmages that we're having today, for a hitter, did you swing at good pitches? You can control that. Once you hit the ball, it's out of your control. So if we focus on what we can control, the game actually becomes easier and it becomes more fun for the player, because he's not worried about the hit or the error or whatever, because he really doesn't control a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we kind of focus on, is trying to get them to focus on what they can control.
Has anybody stood out to you guys yet in the couple of practices you guys have had?
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Anybody by name, or you're just everybody?
No, we're not going to say that.
Okay.
We're not
all right.
Say
that's
that.
Fair. That's completely. Hey, look, that's the job, man.
Because it's practice. We haven't seen him play in a game.
Okay. That's fair.
It's still early on. I think we're both looking for some guys to surprise us a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
as a matter of fact, we had that conversation last night. I had with somebody, and it was like, I don't know. I have not seen him play in a game yet.
Because
some people don't play well in games, and other people don't practice well.
Yeah.
You got to wait and see what you get on the field during competition.
I gotta ask the questions, guys. That's just how it is. Gotta fish for
no,
it. That's
no,
fine.
That's a good question.
What time is scrimmage today?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. That's doable for people in this town to go check that out. And that's open scrimmage. Anybody
absolutely
can show up?
Anybody can show up to any practice anytime. That's fine. We do it a little bit different. The scrimmage is not going to be just a basic scrimmage. We'll start out with a pregame. They'll do infield, outfield. They'll take batting practice. Two separate teams. And then we'll start the scrimmages. And the scrimmages are controlled scrimmages. So each inning will start with a separate or a different situation. For instance, the first three innings today, it's going to be bunt the runner from first to second. Once that play is over, then we play the regular scrimmage. So we'll probably do six innings today, live scrimmage. First time they've pitched, so it'll be interesting to see.
I think it's important going off of, like, they're just not regular scrimmages, so – we want to get guys in uncomfortable positions, right? So that come spring, you get to start with nobody on, right? It's easier. So you start with a runner on first. It gets them thinking. It gets them uncomfortable. So I think that's important.
Uncomfortability. That's what I like to call it, being a little bit uncomfortable in your deals. I like that, guys. I like that a lot.
Well, think about it. Anytime you grow, it's not from comfort. It's from being uncomfortable, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's true. Plants, you put a seed in the ground. It's not a comfortable position being underground. I'll tell you that much right now. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. This really was one of my favorite interviews to do. NDSCS head coach Reinbold and pitching coach Jack Junker talking to me this morning on the Giant Coach Show. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
I appreciate it. I want to see people out there. Let's see them there this year.
You'll see me out there. I'm going to come and visit. More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break on the Voice of the Valley, KBM.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show. On the phone line right now with me is a pleasure. It's an honor. I love this guy. It's LandryFootball.com, longtime coach and scout, Chris Landry. Chris, thanks so much for making some time for me this Saturday morning.
Oh, it's always great to be with you, and look forward to talking some football. Ready to get underway here.
I am more than excited for week one. We had an incredible game on Thursday night. Sunday, this is it, man. And Vikings and Packers, I think, is the game of the weekend. The Packers have the reigning MVP. The Vikings had a new head coach. As somebody who has watched a ton of football, when you come to week one, is it just relief, or are you what are you looking at in week one right now?
Well, for me, a couple of things overall picture is I look for potential sloppiness in tackling on defense, on special teams, because you don't hit a lot, and a lot of the starters are not playing in preseason. And so I want to see, because that could flip a game around that you might think go in a different direction if you have a lot of sloppy play. And I think you have that more now. And it really takes about a quarter of the season before you start to settle that in. I still look at that. And I'm also looking at individual things. Like I did something on LandryFootball.com this week with each and every team. What am I looking for with each team? Like what specific thing I'm looking. So, like in this game, for example, I want to see if the Packers going to utilize their ground game a little more earlier, or is Aaron Rodgers going to throw it a bunch? And, the Vikings, I think have a good young roster. How will they approach it? Will their offensive line be stout enough? So I think it really depends upon the team. But overall, I just want to see kind of how sloppy or how sharp they're going to be tackling in particular, because I think the passing game and the rhythm of that, you can work that, but it's really hard to tackle well when you don't tackle, and we don't tackle anymore in the offseason.
That's a very fair point. Let's talk about the Packers to start here, because the reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and he's one of the older MVPs. Like, Tom Brady's really changed the way that we look at quarterbacks. 38-year-old reigning MVP comes in, but he lost his number one weapon in Devontae Adams. You think that Rodgers might take a step back this year?
I think he's going to be fine. I think in terms of production, not having Devontae Adams hurts. Watkins and Cobb have experience, but they're going to miss them a lot. So, again, I'm curious to see how much they work the running game, and then how much is Aaron Rodgers going to be on board with that? Because I think one of the things about Aaron Rodgers, he wants to win his way. I mean, he wants to win where he's the star, and it's throwing it around. And, look, I think for the Packers, we know that Aaron Rodgers is great. And I think that getting these young receivers to step up is going to be pivotal. But I think in doing that, I think for me in this game, I'm looking for how well this defense plays, because I think this defense has gotten a little bit better. But you've got to help your defense out by running the football. So for me, is it going to be Aaron, I want to throw it a whole bunch, and then maybe you put the game in harm's way because maybe you're not as crisp, or are you patient? You're going to throw it. You're going to have that opportunity, but are you going to run the football and play to the strength, which I think can be an improved defense? I think, to me, not just week one, but if the Packers are going to go deep, into the playoffs, it's going to be because their defense and their running game in combination is better. Because the one Super Bowl that he was involved in winning, it was because he played well, but all those components were there. Aaron Rodgers has been really good, but you can be good in the regular season, and you can have a puncher's chance in a playoff game. But you're not going to win a series of games, meaning getting to the ultimate game and winning a Super Bowl, unless you have balance. So I think balance begins now, and I think you should lean on it a little bit more so that you can work your passing game with different receivers and without your number one guy. I think that's important to ease that in a little bit.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com right now. And Coach, as a former scout, as somebody that's watched a lot of guys, a lot of people up here are very excited for NDSU standout Christian Watson. Do you think he could have a debut in this game against the Vikings? Do you think he could do anything?
I think he's outstanding. I had a great grade coming out of college. I think he's outstanding. I just think, though, putting a lot of pressure in, I think if you run the football or your balance, I think he will play pretty well. I think he'll do well early. But I think a lot of it is how they utilize him, meaning how they bring him along and not rush things too quickly. But he's the guy. I think he's one of the guys that have to step up, and play well. I think that the tight end, Robert Tonyan, has to play well. I mean, I think those are the real key elements for them to replace. You can't just replace Davante Adams. You have to play well in unison to make up for the gap that he leaves. And I think Christian Watkins can be a really good receiver in this league for years to come.
We love to hear that up here. Let's flip over to the Vikings. New head coach, quarterback is still Kirk Cousins. What is the expectations for this team? Because I think that it's an NFC North title, but I think a lot of people up here kind of in the middle don't know what to expect from the Vikings.
I think it depends on the offensive line. It's been a concern. It will continue to be a concern. And I think the combination with Kirk Cousins is what hurts. Yeah, they've got great receiver weapons. I mean, I think they're really good. They can absolutely stay in this division race, but they're going to have to play well on the line of scrimmage, because if they can't, it's really going to put a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, and that's what this team can't do. In some respects, they've got a really good roster. I mean, I think that they can match up very well and compete, but they really struggle because if they get into a position where they give up points and they have to drop back and throw the football, and win games that way, and they can't protect the quarterback, they're in trouble. So I think they're very capable in some areas. Then I think in other areas they're a little bit weak. I like the defense. I think it can be a pretty good defense. But it's the offensive line, I think, that's held them back, and I think, is going to be the key to them being successful or going to hold them back again this year.
They got to fix the offensive line. They always say that the hogs up front is what really can win or lose a game. It's battle of the trenches. Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings, is his first head coaching gig. It's his first game. What, as a coach, kind of goes through your head in that big moment, your first game? What do you think is going through his head today before the big game Sunday?
Well, I'm sure. I know there's a lot of nerves until you get to that position, and it's yours. It's different, but I think he's well prepared. I think he's very bright. I think he's confident in what he can bring to this team and what the team has. So I think there's a lot of positives to build off on. It's just really hard. I think the one thing you try to do is you try to make sure that you've got everything organized from not just a game plan standpoint, but game day. Make sure that, how everybody is going to communicate from the booth to the coaching booth to the field. You got all those little things. Because here's the thing that's different about being a head coach is you're responsible for everything. You've got to control situations, tough decisions that come to challenge it and all that. Well, you can't do that until you get good information from the booth. So how do you deal with that? It's a lot different than when you're a play caller and you're focusing on that, and you might chirp in something into the headset, as opposed to you've got to hear and absorb everything. And you got to deal with kind of like what you've got to do. When you're doing a show, you got things. You got to hit a break on time. You got to do this and that. It's a lot of things that just is above what people think. Oh, you just sit there and you talk sports. Well, yeah, you sit there and talk sports. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to be on top of everything. But as you got to hit the right break. You got to make sure that's kind of what being a head coach is kind of bringing it all together and making sure that you can do your job. It's seamless, and that everybody's role is handled, because if you're going to have a role that's involved in a certain area, then you've got to make sure that somebody's got your back, because ultimately it's going to reflect on you as the head coach.
Chris Landry, you can read his stuff at LandryFootball.com. Chris, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me.
My pleasure. Great to be with you. Enjoy the game.
I want to thank all of our coaches for making the Giant Sports Show one of the best ones that we've ever done. I say this every single week, is that we have a jam-packed show, and this week really was. I want to thank all the coaches, as well as Chris Landry. You can read his stuff at Chris Landry or LandryFootball.com. That's going to do it for me and the rest of us at KBMW. Make sure you go to KBMWnews.com for a full podcast version of the show, as well as a podcast version of last night's games. Yeah, that's right. If you missed any of the game last night, you can go back and listen on KBMWnews.com. For myself and our incredible producer, Big Mike, making sure we look good. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.